to show success.
Welcome
to the most allergic show on television. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's all about swine flu and avian flu and whatever flu that they've concocted up this for, and terrorism and various other false left-right debacles that'll certainly teach you absolutely nothing and make you make YouTube videos talking about how dumb conspiracy theorists are and repeat the words, you know, and the words, like, very often indeed, and accuse all the conspiracy theorists of being stupid. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide, because in the world so full of chaos and friggin' madness, you lose your sense of humour, you'll go nuts. I have a very special guest today. In fact, I have a very special guest every day. In fact, it's a good reminder, ladies and gentlemen, tune into the show every day, because seriously, you'll be missing something. Today, those of you who are missing out, I feel sorry for you, because I haven't missed out. In fact, this is my second helping within a week of this character, Tom Brown, from tombrown.org. The website hasn't been updated for quite a while, but there's plenty of decent info up there. And also, if you go to guerrillamedia.co.nz, you can indeed see the presentation he just gave last week at the Uncensored Conference. Tom Brown, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Vinny. Nice to be here with you.
Could you preface for yourself, for the audience, and of course, a little bit of background, and because we assume to give people credibility once they tell us their qualifications and experiences and whatnot. Go on.
Oh, great. Great. Well, I guess like you're saying like conspiracy people, they think they're dumb. Well, we are dumb, but we're not as dumb as they think. My background is basically as an independent researcher for the last 30 years or so. From the mid-1980s until the mid-1990s, I ran Borderland Sciences Research Foundation, which was founded in 1945, and today is pretty much just an inactive shell. Somebody sells the books. But during the phase when I was operating it, we ran active Tesla experiments where we demonstrated wireless power broadcast, faster-than-light electricity. Worked with Trevor Constable with the etheric rain engineering, which was an outgrowth of Wilhelm Reich's cloud busting. I've worked with Dinshaw Gaudiali's son on color healing, and Peter Lindemann on free energy. I've seen a lot in my day. I've been very fortunate in my experiences to meet a lot of amazing people and learn from them.
So that means that you have had access to what we call the alternative spectra of science, that which is deemed too crazy or too dangerous to the status quo to be given full public notice and recognition. It's consigned to the fringes, as it were. Is that about right?
Absolutely. But in reality, it's not the fringe. It's the core of what's really happening. For example,
we do live in an upside down world.
Oh, absolutely. There's no
everybody
doubt.
Everybody agree with that.
Yeah. Well, most people, let's say. Some people think things are just great and believe the newspapers. But one of my friends...
But the newspapers tell everybody things are terrible.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, right? It's part of it. It's engineering consciousness. You know, it's not just petty guys scamming for cash. You know, this is the engineering of the consciousness of the planet.
Hey, you're right,
it's a major multi-century operation which is going on. And, you know, people waking up to the conspiracy thing is just... That's just sort of the tip of the iceberg. And that's what I've tried to penetrate through to what's really happening in the universe. So like one of the researchers whose work I relied on quite a bit, William Corliss, C-O-R-L-I-S-S, the Sourcebook Project. And he's published a full shelf of books on all the anomalies from the various categories of science. And these are well-recorded, scientific, you know, geology, astrophysics, biology, all the bits that don't fit the theories. if you go read his books, not only will you understand the modern theory, but you'll understand why it's nonsense as well.
If you see that science itself has, for the large part, been covered up, the most integral discoveries and the most poignant discoveries of our time, and in my opinion, have been those that have been hushed up the fastest, so they can't get out. What is it about these core issues of science, as you put it, that poses such a threat and would feasibly motivate someone to cover it up?
Well, as I say, my thesis is overall, this is an engineering of consciousness. We need to wake up. There's very powerful forces trying to keep us asleep. And if you look at the history of science, going back a few hundred years, all the amazing inventions were immediately taken over. For example, I mean, there's many examples. We'll just use it. One of the best ones was Nikola Tesla. He developed, over 100 years ago, wireless broadcast of electricity, and he envisioned everybody having a little handheld thing where you could talk to anybody else anywhere in the world, static free. And he was giving this as a gift to the world in 1912. But of course, by 1912, the newspapers were saying Tesla was crazy, and eventually they came out with this guy Einstein, who everybody says is a big genius, but his paper was never even peer-reviewed. Einstein was like the poster boy for shutting everybody up about the ether and turning everybody's mind away. You had to be a super genius to understand this stuff. And when actually I believe that, the fundamentals of science are understandable to everybody. And that was what I tried to present in my presentation a couple weeks ago or a week ago, that there's some very simple fundamental principles, which once you understand them, then you can penetrate the deeper mysteries such as electricity or the activity of light.
You see, I think that society has been built up so that the core function of our existence is a controlled paradigm. For example, you talked about light and electricity, all of which we now have to pay for, and very few of us can generate for ourselves, at least without extreme cost. That's basically not even worth it in the end, like windmills or solar panels and all of these other sub-rate, inefficient, outdated, and, basically narrow-minded energy providers. That's what I think society really is something that saps energy out of you, which means, you have to go and you have to work off the sweat of your brow to make a whole bunch of money just so that you can sit home and be kept warm by all that energy that you produced in the sector in the first place. And you'll never, ever be able to escape it, right? And that's the whole idea, is to trap you energetically in a system, in a very real sense, and in the spiritual sense of it. Because of that kind of psychological mindset that would be imposed on a person, like, I'm trapped here forever, I can't actually change my situation, it lends itself to this kind of a spiritual and mental paralysis.
I couldn't agree more. That's a very good assessment. For one thing, the stuff we call money, that's something that drains us every time we touch it. Eric Dollard, the Tesla genius who I worked with 25 years ago, he used to say, electrons, electricity is electrons. Where electrons appear, there's light, heat, and loss in the circuit. He said reserve bank dollars, they're like electrons. Wherever they appear in the society circuit, they cause loss in energy and wastage because it's like negative. So, it's very true. That's why they call them the power companies. It's not just about electricity, but it runs deeper. It's like Rudolf Steiner indicated that electricity is actually the human volitional force, but it's being tapped at the lower astral end with these giant magnets that just push this astral sludge down wires, and then they have transformers that pump it further. And, it is low-grade, life-detrimental electricity as opposed to the magnetodielectricity that Tesla invented over 100 years ago, in which nobody even knows exists, right? Because everybody's mind is in a different paradigm.
Well, I don't think everybody's mind is in a quite so much a different paradigm And in fact, you know, the difficulty is there's a whole bunch of labeling processes that go over here. And isn't labeling itself kind of all you're really doing is trying to express a concept for somebody else to grasp onto. You know, if they understand what the label means and everything, they go along with you. But if they misinterpret what that label means and interpret you, therefore, as some description of conspiracy theorist or hushed, I say, whack job, then the difficulty becomes the bridge of understanding. Now, here's what I mean. Like with the energy paradigm before, imagine you've got somebody in the same neighborhood with all of these other people who are completely dependent and essentially slaves to the system, walking around with cuffs and collars. They suddenly see a guy next door who has totally free energy, a huge amount of it indeed. It challenges the Maya, the very baseline of all their psychological conditioning, right? It's almost like it, but the problem is the reactions aren't all uniform. You know, certain people react different ways to those kind of stimuli when you bring somebody who's totally independent into a slave society. They did these tests on monkeys where they sprayed the monkeys with a hose that tried to get the bananas at the top of the, tree. And, then they stopped spraying them with the hose and introduced a new monkey into it. And as he tried to climb up the tree, all the other monkeys would grab him and pull him down because they didn't want to get sprayed. Okay, just like that that dog that kept getting electrified, not wanting to get thinking that he can't get out of the cage and sitting there and undergoing electric shocks. And these kind of tests have been done and they've been proven conclusively that even if you are shown the way free, you will still sit there and force yourself to be a slave and a prisoner. How do you deal with that? We've lost our guest, actually, Tom here, so we're going to have to bring him up at the moment. But there's a comment that I think kind of is a good segue from here to a show the other day. Dr. Rebecca Carley, about dangers of vaccines and the medical devils and medical mafia and whatnot. And basically, this is the comment that he read out. Dr. Carley is a smart cookie. Vinny is a top-notch host. Great job getting this info out to the uninformed. Now, I'm all for looking positively and all of that, but is this show actually going out to the uninformed, or am I just informing people that are already awake by bringing on fabulous guests who know so much more than I do? Or what's the real paradigm here? Am I actually waking anybody up, really? Or is everybody just kind of waking up on their own? I don't know. I just feel that it's really fun to do. All right, Tom, you're back.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's that wonderful Wi-Fi service I have here.
Yeah. Well, after the break, we'll see if we can reconnect you on a landline. So in the meantime, what I was talking about was how people, if they see an independent person next to them and they've got the cuffs and collar and they're a slave and whatnot, many of them, just like the dog being electrified in the cage, will not set themselves free even if they're shown the way.
Oh, absolutely. As well as like Wilhelm Reich showed, right, there's actually like a what called biopathic or characterological armoring. You know, most people, they don't think. They think they think. They really, truly, characterologically react to their imprints. And if their world structure gets altered, then it disrupts their character, so they get mad. And
Tom, you kind of dropped out there a little bit. You'll have to restate your position.
Okay, no, that's okay. Somehow I realized that came back online that I was hearing an echo of myself in the background. No, I was saying people think they think. They're just really characterologically reacting to their imprint, and they observe it, so they think that they're actually conscious of their activities. You know, some more or less. You know, we come up above and below that line. I'm guilty of that as anybody. But what I've noticed over the decades is when you show somebody something which is outside their worldview, if they don't really have an open mind and a flexible, you know, character structure, then they become unseated. They get angry. I've had people want to strangle me because I've just started talking to them about sort of like light and color, how it worked. Or, you know, pointing out that, you know, you might not be able to see the stars in space. And, wow, you just get these crazy wild looks on people's faces, you know, because it's different than what they were told. And this, of course, goes into the conspiracy theory. You know, that's why people don't, you know, even today, I still know people think 9/11 was like Arab hijackers and these buildings just like fell down and it was just the weight of the buildings made them turn to powder. And they go, and then you question them and they go, but why would the government do it? I can't accept it because why? I go, forget why. Look at the evidence. But many people are incapable of that.
Why are they incapable?
Well, because they're characterologically structured. This is what Wilhelm Reich dealt with in his mass psychology of fascism and character analysis.
Specifically, what actually is that process? How do you imprint somebody with that mindset? Is it just the favored propaganda tactics of repetition, breakdown of the family, replace it with a different father figure, give them reward systems like they do in prisons for snitching on people or behaving in other kinds of scumbaggery type behavior? That's pretty much it, isn't it?
That's pretty much it. It starts when young. I mean, you look at like children's TV shows and it's just shocking, you know. I mean, 100 years ago, they'd hang people for showing that stuff to kids. You know, but
I reckon we still should.
I agree. You know, children are, you know, the future. And you have to give them good education, teach them properly, you know, show them how the world really is. Don't stick them in front of some nonsensical, frantic, you know, cartoons, you know, with no real sense. And, all this
and we'll be right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being somewhat operatic and somewhat spastic. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. My very special guest today is Tom Brown from TomBrown.org. Welcome back.
Hey, nice to be back, Vinnie. Thank you.
Mm-mm-mm. Continue postulating away, if you will, because some of the interesting things that you came up with at your talk at the Uncensored conference earlier, there was hollow earth theory, expanding earth theory. Can you explain mm-hmm. those two?
Well, part of the reason I look into these is not so much whether or not I believe one, but what I find interesting is that there are people that believe them, and there's been people that believe them for a lot of very serious reasons. So part of what I see as breaking out of this sort of like armored characterological structure is the ability to review different world systems without getting upset. But I particularly like the expanding Earth theory, which is easy to find information on that on the internet. And that makes the most sense. Back in 1963, National Geographic had up in the corner of their world map for the year a little thing on the expanding Earth, about how all the scientists decided that. But then next year we had plate tectonics and that was gone. So whatever happened. But if you, and there are animations done by Neil Adams and others on the internet where you can actually watch and see how the world fits together. It makes more sense than just having like this one big lump of land on one side and then somehow like, you know, broke up and just like slid all around the world. So this is what I believe is actually behind today the increase in earthquakes. If you look at, they're all happening on the expansion joints. You know, the volcanoes are going off. So the Earth has become very active. And of course, if the Earth does expand, well, then there's a possibility that maybe it's hollow on the inside. We don't really know. All we know is they interpret waves using a certain worldview or a certain paradigm. Maybe there is a molten core. Maybe there's not. I tend to think not myself. But then I like what's called the canopy theory, which is that as the Earth formed, it sort of formed in concentric layers. And as the geological layers fell to Earth over successive die-offs, which were like the end of the dinosaurs, those sorts of things, which they blame on comets, but can't be a comet because there's actually problems with like the iridium layer throughout the Cretaceous-Tertiary boundary. You penetrate into these sort of beliefs and you start finding all kinds of problems, so the things don't add up. So I've tried to find a model that actually works, and this is with the expanding, or with the canopy theory, that as these layers progressively fell down to Earth, then the life started happening down here rather than further up. And what was left was the water. And that fell about 12,000 years ago and is recorded in the various flood legends around the world, such as, Noah's flood. And, of course, caused all the damage, which is now interpreted as ice ages. Because, it looks like there was no ice on Antarctica 12,000 years ago. So how did that get there? What flash froze the mammoths? There's so many mysteries out there that, people get lost just like arguing about like the conspiracy theories, and which is good because you want to wake up to everything. But, man, there's some fantastic stuff happening out in the sciences as well.
Yeah.
We've been clouded everywhere.
I suppose the real question is, what exactly did freeze those mammoths fresh, flash frozen? I mean, what would do something like that?
Liquid nitrogen bath. That would work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you look at forensically, like you go up to like the Arctic today, and let's say a reindeer drops dead of a heart attack and falls into a crevice. By the time it freezes, the inside of the stomach is already digested. Even though the animal's dead, the acid still works. So it's digested its meal. The blood crystals have gone bad. Basically, it's already started decaying from the inside by the time it freezes. This is just forensic truth. Just look at how it works. But yet these mammoths, which are much huger animals than a reindeer, they're flash frozen into the stomachs where there's no digestion took place. The blood crystals are still pure, as though they were frozen as alive. So this was intense cold. So one way I've looked at it is if the waters fell in, and they would have fallen in energetically around where the auroral bands are, which is where the permafrost is, then they would have pulled in space above the troposphere, which would have flash frozen. It's cold enough there. And it would have basically helped chill the world in that sense. So there is one potential explanation. There's pluses and minuses. As I say, try to keep them all open, and we need to review this. It's not like I have any answers. I just have a lot of questions about, I keep an open mind and I looking at all these mysteries.
Yeah, me too. I say you can't figure the world out, and anybody who reckons they've got it all figured out has got it wrong.
Oh, absolutely. It was like one of my favorite old shows, Kung Fu, with Kwai Chang Kane. On one of the shows, somebody comes up to him and says, "Oh, you must have the answer." And Kwai Chang Kane says, "I seek not the answer, but to better understand the question." And I believe that's where I'm at. I have a lot of questions. It might sound like I have answers. I answer the question. I tell you what I think. But really, the more I know, the more curious I get. This is crazy multidimensional universe. Because my belief system, and I think this is something I discussed in my talk, is I have multiple belief systems. I can accept the one where the third rock from the sun, where we're going around this sort of like sun thing on a little planet. It makes sense. Yeah, there's reasons to believe that. But there's also reasons to believe that we're in the center. And that's like a higher order space, where life responds to. And you can find this through like plant tropisms, reactions of metals to planetary movements, the way they're affected by agriculture. And this is what Rudolf Steiner was actually trying to get together through the natural scientific section of the Goetheanum, although much of where he was really heading and what the intent was is sort of lost on the modern sort of Steiner movement. It's just sort of because Steiner was teaching people how to overcome the worldview by using special methods of education, but now they use his special methods of education to teach the modern worldview. So it's become the opposite of what it set out to be.
Well, kind of like, I believe it might have been Bill Clinton who said something like this, but I'm paraphrasing. It's like, when somebody asks you a question that you don't want to answer, don't answer that question. Answer the question you wish they'd asked you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My father taught me that years ago when he heard me do some radio shows. I used to do the old Radio Free America shows with Tom Valentine, do Fractal Fridays on alternative science. And, you know, my dad's going, well, yeah, you shouldn't let the guy lead you like that. I said, well, I'm answering the questions. He said, no, he said, just let him talk and then you say what you want. And I've developed that technique. So, although I love dialogues like this, this is, you know, great. I love your lighthearted approach to all these. You have to do it all with a smile.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because the reality's it's pretty harsh sometimes, especially when you talk about the eugenics agenda, how much chemicals and poisons are all around us. And is there a cumulative effect, do you think, of all of these different toxins of our environment, of our simple understanding? Do all of these toxins prevent us from understanding who we are and what's going on right now?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that that's part of the agenda. Is there some madness going on that we're not totally aware of in our way we see things? You know, we're seeing the edges of it. We see rascals like the Bilderbergs and all that, and we know something's up, but we don't. And I'm not even sure those guys fully know what's up. They're probably more tools themselves as something behind, because, you know, you just look at, I mean, there's been nuclear waste dumped all over the planet, you know, intentional pollution all over the place. And the radio pollution, you know, well, we could have had Tesla's wireless, which wouldn't have affected the environment. But instead, we've got all this, you know, wires strung across the planet, you know, with all this crappy electromagnetism everywhere. You know, humans have fouled their nest, but it's happened because we've been unaware of what the controllers have been doing and have been basically doing it with our consent. Our uninformed consent, we can say. But you can go into things like, there was those books years ago. I don't know if you read Morning and the Magicians and Eternal Man.
I disagree, those? Actually. No, I was just going to go back to your original point there about uninformed consent. Well, in actual fact, no, it is informed consent. There's some kind of a loophole I've been led to believe in the law of informed consent in the United States that allows you to basically experiment on people without directly telling them, so long as it's on display somewhere. Kind of like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, everything's up front. It's like, you know, Gordon Israel, who was on your show in the past, like he was saying, you know, you walk into the Reserve Bank here in New Zealand and they got the red shield up, right? You know, these people, they speak in symbols. They're telling you everything. It's just that we don't know what they're saying. So, right. So I used uninformed consent, you know, because of the way we think, but truly it is informed consent because it was like Ben Stewart, who did the Esoteric Agenda documentary. I liked what he said. He said, you know, there is a conspiracy out there, but it's really, you know, we can't wake up the world. We can only wake up ourselves and, you know, let the energy spread out from that point. But I was going to make the – go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No. I was gonna make, it's my show. You go ahead.
Oh, thank you. No, I was going to say, well, there's the books Morning of the Magicians and Eternal Man, Impossible Possibilities by Pauls and Bergier. I don't know if you read those. They influenced me heavily back in the 70s. When I was a teenager.
Were those your only heavy influences in the 70s?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. There's a long list there, but
it was the 70s. That's the excuse I always hear. It was the 70s. But anyway, continue.
It was. I remember way back then still, which is good. But now these books, Eternal Man, they started coming out. These were the first introduction I had to really Fulcanelli and alchemy, and they were talking about this whole new wave of, you know, the secret sciences that were happening. But something struck me when I read them that something was wrong, and they were pushing nuclear as the new alchemy. And I ran across this other ways where I looked at, like, the radionics schools in America eventually turned into, you know, this Charles Colson, I can't remember the name of the magazine, the electronic thing. It used to be radionics. It turned into starting to promote nuclear. And even people like George Unger, who was wrote on the etheric sciences out of the anthroposophical movement, he eventually became an apologist for the nuclear industry. Now, I'm thinking, well, a lot of these people have been programmed to think that this nuclear stuff, and which I view as a death cult, is actually some sort of higher alchemy. And in essence, if you stand back and look at the planet, they're dumping this stuff everywhere intentionally. They're running these plants they know are crap, you know, just to keep control. But somebody behind the scenes knows that they're totally disrupting and transforming the surface of this planet, you know, in a bad way.
I'm coming up with a theory right now as you're saying this. You know how Zbigniew Brzezinski said at the Council on Foreign Relations meeting that there's a big, unprecedented global awakening?
Yes, I do have seen that quote.
And you know how they've been talking about on the Georgia Guidestones, they want to reduce the world's population down to 500 million?
Right.
And you know how there's all these deep underground military bases all over the show?
Absolutely. You know, I knew Richard Sauter years ago.
So what say they've decided to dump all the radiation over the Earth now? And you can heal yourself from radiation poisoning, it's fine, but the main point is they're going to stop population growth because now what's being proposed is that they, in fact, screen babies. The first generation trimester children are now dying. There's been a 35% increase in infant deaths around where Dr. Bill Deagle is living in Southern California there. Mm-hmm. And now what New Zealand and American media are saying is that we're going to scan everybody's babies to make sure that they're not deformed or anything like that. And if they are deformed, we'll give you the option to abort them or whatnot. So what's going to happen is because of the huge amount of deformities that are going to be caused by all this nuclear stuff, basically very, very few people are now going to be having children at all.
Oh, definitely. It's going to turn into Mutiland on the old Judge Dredd comics, you know?
and the remainder that aren't having deformed children will probably be sterile.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's, so my postulation is that the end of the world, end of the population eugenics agenda has just been set in motion.
Oh, it has. Well, it's been, they've accelerated it. It's been, well, like last night I watched on History Channel, you know, conspiracy theory, Jesse Ventura, and it was the one on the Bilderbergers. And, you know, it's like, you watch Jesse, I mean, you know, it's kind of fun. He's like, you know, sort of megaphone diplomacy. He gives you enough information to get you mad. But, you know, the fact that these shows are so well done and on the air, it's, they're basically flaunting it in our face. They're broadcasting it. They're telling us that they're genociding us. There's no doubt about it. You know, so what do you do? You know, do you, that's why I look to the stars. I look, you know, to there's a higher, more refined way of dealing with things. You know, that's why the political process is nonsense. You know, you're not going to get anywhere in that.
You'll get somewhere, all right. But it's going to be. But as we all well know, everything that they promise seems to vanish like mist in the morning. Such as the lies from the mouths of President BS and our Prime Minister, John Key, Fed Reserve little scumbag lackey he may be. And now they're talking about giving the Reserve Bank even more powers now. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Don't you just love being a slave? We'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. Yeah. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? Huh? How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
Welcome back. It's been a long time. It's been a long time coming. And nobody rocks a show like this. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. on American Freedom Radio, bro, for sure. Yeah. And we've got my very special guest, Tom Brown. And we wanted to talk about the upcoming elections, and it's not a pornography reference, although it could be if you happen to roam in political pedophile circles. But the reserve banksters in New Zealand are the filthiest, dirtiest scum of the lot, and they rule this effing country. Okay, make no mistakes. Every time a prime minister is elected, the night of the election, he is given a call from Treasury at the behest of the Reserve Bank to be told that some description of crisis has been building up in previous administrations, and now they need to tax the bejesus out of everybody, privatise everything, and or pass draconian legislation to spy on them and enslave them all. That is politics. If you don't understand the New World Order, you don't understand politics. And if you don't vote for a party that is openly anti-New World Order, you will get raped. And so will your country, and so will all of your countrymen. What are your thoughts on this, Tom, this year in the elections?
Right. Well, I honestly don't pay too much attention to them. I go along with Eric Dollard, the Tesla genius who I worked with, you know, a few decades back. And he used to say, to an electrical engineer, politics is like a parasitic oscillation in the circuit. You know, parasitic oscillation being like feedback, something that takes over and distorts the true circuit, the true body politic. Now, the Reserve Bankers, it's hard to say. Some people say that they're actually acting honorably and it's their job to wake us up. And they're just like putting the screws down until we stand up. Like the American Supreme Court, they ruled that rights are only afforded the belligerent claimant. If you don't claim your rights, you don't have them. But I can actually say, having spent a few years in court with the IRD, that they don't play fair. There's no doubt about that. I've seen some pretty dodgy stuff happen in court where, yeah, you file motions properly and they just like ride over them. They won't hear the real things. You know, if you try to pay real legal tender, put gold in and stuff, and everybody, they like jump around like you put a poker up their ass or something. You know, it's just, they really freak out because they don't know what to do if you start figuring it out. But as I always said, that if you vote, you can't complain because you've therefore participated in the, because who can be represented? You know, look up representation in Beauvier's. You can represent rights of an ancestor, a testator, somebody died with a will, an intestate estate, or a corporation. If you have a representative, you've admitted to being dead. You cannot vote if you're alive, living being, technically.
That's right. So, and not to mention, even if you did vote, you wouldn't be able to elect anybody because you're not an elector, you're a voter.
Right. Yeah, no, it's all part of the illusion. And every few years, they get everybody all worried about that. And everybody's, oh, well, now, you know, let's get labor in because, you know, National screwed it up. And it just goes back and forth. You know, it's that old Hegelian dialectic to, you know, keep people confused.
Have you noticed something? It's like Grand Slam tennis and we're the ball.
I feel that way many times, Vinny.
I mean, it's like, man, it's fun. You get to sail through the air for a bit, but then you get smacked in the side of the head.
I've been rolled in court, you know, with what I've considered corrupt judges and corrupt government departments. But then you find they're not even really the government. Look at the New Zealand shield, the New Zealand seal. And what do you see down the middle is these three ships. Then go on the internet and search for, you know, coat of arms of the East India Company. And lo and behold, there's the three ships. Right. So what we got here is just the East India Company managing trade with the Reserve Bank being the true governance.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult position.
Funny. It's hilarious. The whole freaking colonial system, which everybody thinks is dead, all those old evil kind of regimes of power and monarchy and the black nobility, which everybody think don't exist no more, have still been there and have only grown in power and influence so much that they control virtually everything of consequence on this planet. And now they are moving to consolidate the one thing that remains, total power. They got all the money, they got all the resources. Now they need total power over everybody, unequivocal, military, absolutely, psychological power, all forms of it.
Right. Well, that's why I believe that ultimately it's a spiritual war. It's a war on our souls, a war on our consciousness. You know, they don't want us to think. They don't want us to be awake. But, you know, like collectively, you know, we have more power than any of them. They're just, you know, scared, ruthless thugs that, you know, can't really see the light of day. But they do have the power, and they also have all that amazing suppressed technology like Tesla's wireless and heavens knows, you know, the flying saucers. I'm not much of a believer in aliens. I'm, you know, because not that life isn't everywhere in the universe, but I think a lot of the UFO activity all grew out of the, you know, like what the Nazis were working on and others. Because who was it? Roswell. People, oh, yeah, Roswell, alien craft. Crashed right next to all the Nazis that came over in Operation Paperclip and were working on secret disc craft. So why are the aliens going to go crash next to them? That was like one of those double intelligence things. You know, the weather balloon was a cover for the alien thing, but the alien thing was the cover for the real one, is that this is a real Earth project of advanced technology.
You've heard of the UFO Disclosure Project, right? What I find interesting is that they're specifically disclosing that they've seen unidentified flying objects and not aliens, right? But the connotation is that it's aliens, whereas I think that there's a possibility for that, but what I find a tad bit more likely, and in a lot of UFO sightings, is that they're simply classified aircraft.
Oh, could well be. I spend a lot of time looking at the skies, and I lived up in Northern California for about 10 years and used to go out Black Sands Beach, out Cape Mendocino, which is the furthest west point. And I'll tell you, you see some amazing stuff in the skies. I'd see stuff come bolting in like a meteor, and then would come over like King's Peak, which is about 5,000-foot mountain on the California coast, the Lost Coast, they call it, because no roads through there. And as the thing looks like it's a meteor shooting in, when it gets by the coast, all of a sudden it turns into an airplane and starts blinking lights. And I'm not the only person seen this. I've spent hundreds of nights on the beach watching this stuff. And there is some amazing stuff going on if you just open your eyes and look around.
Yeah. And,
I was even reporting on chemtrails back in the 1980s, you know, like Tom Valentine on his, he didn't believe me. He's going, oh, no way. I'm going, no, look, man, there's something, these planes are modifying the clouds. There's something going on up there. And he's going, oh, I'm not, because that was probably 1987, 88, you know. And of course, then once until the mid 90s, people start saying it. And now it's just so obvious that, so just, you know, look up to the sky. You'd be amazed what you see. And while I'm on that subject, you know, people are talking lately about, you know, the Earth shifting, the moon rotating. And I just got a couple pictures of a good friend of mine up in the States who has been taking astronomical pictures since he was 10 years old. He sent me an excited email last night with a couple pictures, which I've just forwarded on to John at Uncensored. Hopefully we can run this and investigate this. But he's claiming that the moon's actually rotated. And he sent me the pictures. I need to look into this a little more. I'm not absolutely certain this is happening, but it may well be. You know, we need to really be open to major changes. Space is anisotropic, which means it's unevenly energized. And we've moved over the last 30 years into a very high energy state. And it's affecting all the planets, not just Earth.
You know what? Somehow, I think this makes me think of the Truman Show, you know, when the light kind of like breaks through the ceiling and comes down, and all the people that are controlling the whole freaking place are sitting there in the moon.
It could be.
And the visage is starting to go slightly awry now, you know. We've all realized that we're in this global Truman Show, ladies and gentlemen. Tom, thank you so much for sharing this hour with me. It's been a real pleasure, mate.
And, hey, thank you, Penny.
Is there any final words of wisdom you'd love to give the audience before we go off?
Oh, I say just, you know, enjoy life. I say, you know, just look to the sky. You know, look out. You know, don't believe anything. Unless you believe everything, and then you can like sort between it. So I say just keep an open mind and keep some good humor while you're at it.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's kind of the whole point of the show. Try as I may, I haven't found any dedicated truth or comedy talk shows like this, but there's plenty of funny truthers out there, though, bro. I tell you, man. Absolutely hysterical. In fact, a good host named Tracy Kennedy and Mike Chambers, two very funny individuals. In fact, I'm going to have a panel discussion with them organized at some point. And that'll be a good barrel of laughs, isn't it? Because, hey, look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the end of the world. There's no need to get upset about it.
We got front row seats. Just enjoy it.
Absolutely. It's like the motion master at Rainbow's End, you know. The earth will take care of the motion mastering, and you just need to master your emotions and learn how to laugh and love. And we'll be right back next hour with Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. Back in a moment.